go back to rehearse just a moment of the last part of the 18th chapter. He sees a picture of a mighty angel taking up a stone like a great millstone, casting into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down." We've identified that time and again. A city that calls itself the Eternal City. A city of seven hills. A city where this great fallen false church resides. A city wherein there is what the Bible calls spiritual fornication, or concourse with the major nations of the earth. Recently on 60 Minutes, there was quite an in-depth program done about how many Romans in the city of Rome itself do not understand the way the Vatican City, operates and do not understand the use of the Vatican radio in about 65 different languages or so, do not understand that it is a state within a state, that as much as any other political entity is a sovereign state, the Vatican, 100 acres in the heart of Rome, is a sovereign state. It is not only a church within a state, the state of Italy, but it is in itself a government that has complete autonomy, that has complete sovereignty, and that is separate from the national government of Italy. The government of Italy has no jurisdiction. The Italian police, the Roman police, have no jurisdiction in the Vatican City. Vatican is a separate state as much as the United States or Mexico or Italy itself is a separate state. Now, you can read the last few verses of the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, and you can ask yourself, does that mean Phnom Penh? Does that mean Rangoon? Does it mean London? Here is the description of that city that can only mean one city located in Italy called Rome. There is no other biblical definition that will match. Now, it goes on to say in verse 23 of the destruction of that great system, "The light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more in all of thee." And talking merely about the total cessation of all the happiness, all the joviality, the daily way of life, talking about a cessation of commerce. It says, "For your merchants were the great men of the earth." Now, I've talked about people's favorite conspiracy theories. It is quite true. When you look at the International Monetary Fund, at the Fed, at international bankers, at some of the great leading financiers in the families of Holland, of Belgium, especially of France and the United States, and you see some of the families that have controlled a great deal of the finances of major nations that actually have been in the position to lend governments enough money to bail them out of wars, and there is something to that. But you look here in this prophecy, and it shows that the great industrialists, the great economists or financiers, the great money men of the world are very distraught at the collapse of this system, because the system first is economic. It gets underway because of economic considerations. It is founded upon trade. It eventually becomes military and becomes militarily armed with nuclear weapons and goes to war, but it begins because of the mutual desire of all participants for a gigantic, burgeoning, mart or merchandising system in which everyone has a much greater lifestyle. "For thy merchants," it says, "were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." An interesting sidelight to the meaning of the word sorcery in the Bible. Do you know that the root is the same identical word as you find in the word pharmacist? It's pharmakon or pharmakos. Sorcery and pharmacy are absolutely synonymous. That does not mean that every conceivable synthetic or drug or what have you that is made and sold over the counter by your pharmacist is something that stems from witchcraft or demonism. Just an interesting thing in passing that anciently the art that was known, is called today pharmacy, was an art which then was called witchery or witchcraft. That goes way back to ancient Babylon, Egypt, and Rome. It goes back, in a sense, to the animists and to people even in some of the primitive societies of New Guinea and of Africa today, who instead of dispensing medicine, dispense, well, bat's knuckles, frog's legs, or what have you, in a leather bag, and the witch doctor or the shaman shows up at the door of the tent and begins to exorcise evil spirits just because the person's got a decaying tooth. So it has the same origin. In this case, the sorceries by which all nations are deceived is nothing more than the false doctrines of that church, the liturgies, the beliefs, which are totally pagan in their origin. And in her, it says in verse 24, was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And we've seen that in past broadcasts. Now, in the 19th chapter, beginning in verse 1, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people. The Greek language here should read of a great multitude, or in Spanish, muchedumbre, meaning more than one, but many, many individuals. It does not mean human beings, and we see who are these in this multitude a few verses later on. It talks about the 24 elders. It talks about angels by the millions. It talks about beings, including these four living creatures called four beasts in verse 4, the 24 elders and others who are doing the speaking. One thing to remember in going through the book of Revelation, John wrote in the order in which he saw. He is writing in the order in which he saw this vivid technicolor dream. Now, because you have a general series of events, a general progression in the book of Revelation, does not mean, however, that there are not insets, there are not flashbacks, not recapitulations, or not a little bit of a foretaste of what is coming, like one chapter of the 10th, for example, setting the stage for the 11th, the 12th, which is like a little microcosm of all of history, insert into the book of Revelation, inserted, and gives from the time even prior to the creation of the earth all the way to the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. John did not write in the order perfectly in which all the events are to occur. He wrote in the order in which he saw and heard, and then God's word tells us to go back to other prophecies, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And for prophecies, they are of no private interpretation, that we need to be workmen, as it says, that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And also remember that Christ is the revelator. And no man is, and only Jesus Christ qualified to open the seals of the book of Revelation to make it clear to us, and by looking into all of the prophecies, putting them all together, and then understanding what God wants us to understand, we can understand the book of Revelation.